This is a Channel Africa podcast. You can also get Channel Africa on satellite, PAS 10, DSTV Audio Bouquet 802, and OpenView Bouquet, Channel 628.
We're about to get into a conversation concerning the Red Sea and the conflict taking place. Now, we know that this affects the routes in which shipping ports take place. I suppose shipping to the ports and the destinations take place. And so we want to unravel the potential for South Africa to capitalize on such an experience and obviously contribute to the development of the South African economy and aid certain companies with respect to receiving their imports and exports.
Because as we know, one man's trash is another man's
treasure.
And you know, that is what we're exploring here, is because for weeks the Houthis, a Yemeni armed group that controls swaths of the country, have been attacking commercial ships in the Red Sea, and they say the attacks are as a response to Israel's bombardment of Gaza. And hundreds of large vessels are rerouting around the southern tip of Africa, a longer route which adds some 10 to 14 days for travel to escape drone and missile attacks by the Yemeni armed forces that have pushed up oil prices and freight rates. Now, South Africa's major ports, including Durban, one of Africa's largest in terms of container volumes handled, as well as Cape Town, are among the worst performing globally. And this is according to a World Bank 2022 index, which was released in May last year. We talk to Head of Ports, Transport and Logistics at Bowman's, Andrew Pike, about what the potential opportunities are for South Africa and its ports. A very good afternoon to you, Andrew, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, good afternoon to both of you, and good afternoon to your listeners. Thank you for the
Absolutely. Perhaps let's start off by, you know, exploring what some of the ramifications are over what is happening at the Red Sea now.
Okay. The ramifications are fairly serious. And as you suggested in your introduction, there are sort of upsides and downsides to this for various stakeholders. But let's just start with the ship owners. Any ship owner transiting through the Red Sea and the Suez Canal gets the advantage of time. And as you indicated, if you go round the Cape and you were to go back to the exit of the Suez Canal into the Mediterranean, for instance, that would be a 26-day round trip. But to get through the Suez Canal is about 11 or 12 hours. To get back to, you know, sort of mid-Europe, you're probably adding an extra 10 to 14 days onto the voyage by going around the Cape. So there's a huge loss of time. Funnily enough, though, it's actually cheaper to go around the Cape for ship owners because the transit costs of this canal are very high. A fully laden container vessel could cost anything up to $700,000 to go through that channel, yeah. Whereas coming around the Cape, the ship owners could save about $200,000. So, you know, there's the cost is not so much the issue. The other big ramification around going through the Red Sea is, first of all, if you insist as a ship owner on going through there, you might either lose your insurance cover, or you're going to be paying much higher premiums for what's called war risks cover. And then the third problem the ship owner has is that he will often have a contract with a charterer, a charter party, and the charter party will say you have to take the quickest route or the shortest route or whatever it is. And if he then deviates from that, he loses his liability cover in respect of disputes with his charterer. And the charterer may say, well, you're now in breach and I'm going to claim damages from you because you've taken a much longer time. So, you know, there are upsides and downsides for the ship owner generally. But overall, what you did mention was that freight rates have gone up and shipping has been in quite a slump, particularly since COVID. And freight rates have come off because of you know, consumerism coming off and so on. But freight rates are now booming again.
Mm.
And either this carries on for 6 months or 12 or whatever it is, you know, shipping companies will get back into the black. So, you know, there are upsides and downsides for them. So that's the kind of big piece, big picture for the shipping companies for now.
All right, that is the voice of Andrew Pike, who is from Bowman's. And we're going to come back and continue this conversation just after this.
Get Channel Africa on. DSTV Audio Bouquet, Channel 802. Channel Africa, the African perspective. They talk about what Africans say about Africa.
We're currently in conversation with Andrew Pike, who is the head of ports, transport and logistics at Bowman's. And we are discussing the opportunities that present themselves amid the Red Sea crisis and just honing into how the Southern African region can capitalize from this particular experience. Now, Andrew, you said something so interesting. You know, there are ups and downs to this particular set of events that we've seen take place at the Red Sea. Let's touch base on how South Africa can somewhat benefit from this. And I'm saying this due to the heavy amount of conversations that took place last year concerning South African ports, the backlog that we have seen across the various ports, and how we aren't necessarily at our utmost best. Can we capitalize from this movement? Is it possible for us to gain anything at this very point?
The answer is yes, but to a limited extent. My view is that the first and most major benefit will be to ship suppliers. So people who supply bunkers or ship fuel should benefit, and I'm going to talk more about that in a moment. Ship chandlers, which is suppliers of, you know, groceries and necessities for ships, those would be the biggest benefactors. So we'll come back to cargo in a moment. Now, South Africa traditionally has been one of the cheaper places to take on bunkers for ships. Singapore is, I think, the cheapest, but South Africa is not bad. It's quite competitive. And any ship coming around the Cape would probably want to refuel in South Africa. They might try and refuel in Mozambique or Namibia, for instance, but South Africa is the most obvious place. And in fact, the place that has been most lucrative and most busy for refueling of ships over the last few years has been Algoa Bay near Gqeberha.
Mm.
Now, that industry has been effectively shut down by SARS for almost a year, where there's a huge dispute between SARS and bunker suppliers about bunkers which have been brought in by foreign suppliers, put onto sort of floating storage units, put onto ships which then sail out of the country again. And SARS is arguing that those bunkers, because they crossed into South African waters, should have been imported and that should have been paid. And that's sort of what the dispute is about. But effectively, SARS has shut down a hugely lucrative business in Algoa Bay. And that then leaves Durban, Cape Town, to a lesser extent, some of the other ports, as the places where ships can bunker. But now, Algoa Bay is very flat most of the time and the perfect place to transfer bunkers from ship to ship, whereas Durban and Cape Town have pretty rough waters outside, and it's hard to fuel transfers outside. So the ships then have to come into the port, and as you've mentioned, our port efficiencies have not been, you know, models of perfection exactly over the last couple of years. So we're losing a big opportunity, whereas the opportunity does exist. Chandling is quite a similar situation, but it's less risky to put supplies onto a ship at sea than it is to put fuel onto a ship. So those are the two sort of principal opportunities for suppliers. Now, in terms of cargo, you know, the ships coming round the Cape will be carrying their cargo already, and it would make sense for them just to keep going into or wherever they would have been going. you know, there's some argument that you could transship onto ships that have called here from Europe and then let those ships carry on to Europe. Cargo operations are always the most lucrative aspect of shipping. And so, you know, that would be ideal. But to transship cargo means you've actually got to go into a port, you've got to take a container off, you've got to put it on the, store it on the side, put it back on a new ship. That's all extra handling costs, which the consumer will pick up. So it's not hugely efficient to transship, and it's only indicated in certain instances. So in my view, that won't present an opportunity. But the one opportunity that may present itself is that where ships would have done cargo operations between, let's say, the Far East and Europe, they may now say, well, let's rather concentrate our efforts on Africa and see if we can if we can work any imports and exports from there. And they may therefore then just be sailing to and from Southern Africa instead. So there are some opportunities, but I would say they're limited mostly to the suppliers.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on, Andrew, and thank you so much for your insights this afternoon.
Oh, you're most welcome, and thank you for having me.
That is Head of Ports, Transport and Logistics at Bowman's, Andrew Pike. They're joining us to give us an indication of whether South Africa can indeed leverage off of the conflict that is currently happening in the Red Sea, and the Houthi armed group saying that these attacks are as a response to Israel's bombardment of Gaza. And now looking at the various ports in South Africa and whether, you know, we can use those, Durban being the largest one that these ships can operate out of. But as Andrew has indicated, yes, there are opportunities, but there are limitations to these opportunities as well.
That podcast was courtesy of Channel Africa, the African perspective.